because I almost had $1 million in scholarships all together. And so, yeah, I was like, okay, this wouldn't be too bad because I am a first gen. You know, I grew up, you know, I always had the thing in my mindset saying, okay, I do want to go to college, but how am I going to get there? My parents, they didn't save up a whole bunch of money for me to go to college. So I had to really excel in school to get the funds and money and resources that I needed so I can get here today. Because that was another thing. I knew I wanted to go out of state, but how was I going to pay for it? Because if I stayed in Georgia, then I still would have had to pay some out of pocket, but more would have been covered since I was an in-state student. And, you know, Tuskegee is a private institution, so our tuition and fees are all the same for all students.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Career Education Learning Center podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Rivers. I am TE today. What is TE? I am thrilled and elated to have Imani Greer on our show today. Imani is a political science major at Tuskegee University. How are you doing today, Imani?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Yes, of course. It's my pleasure.
And if I pronounce your name, Imani, too many times as far as being wrong, please don't beat me up, okay? Well, man, Imani, tell our people a little bit about yourself and your journey to your career experience thus far.
Yes. So my name is Imani Greer. I'm a sophomore political science major that attends Tuskegee University. I'm currently a work study student at Tuskegee. And I do have some upcoming roles as of next year. I do got some plans in some place. I'm planning to be a resident assistant next year, as well as holding leadership positions such as the executive lacrosse coordinator. And I'm going to be president of that club as well. So, yeah, and I'm currently doing internship, death row inmates internship, pretty much just a research-based internship. And, you know, I just been kind of engaged with my community as well. As far as how I got here, that's another story. The reason why I chose Tuskegee actually wasn't my first choice. Okay. Tuskegee, I didn't know much about Tuskegee before I came here. I had a friend that had told me about it. He had aspirations to go there. And I didn't really think it was going to be a place for me because they're STEM-based. They're you know, engineering, nursing, they're just very STEM-based. And I'm a social science major, so I didn't think they really had much for me. And because the HBCUs that I was kind of looking at was like Alabama State, Howard, because I'm originally from Georgia, you know, I thought about the AUC, but I didn't think I really wanted to be there because I've already experienced, like, Atlanta and everything like that. And so, yeah, I had finally applied because I was applying to schools for free. Like, I applied to almost like 30 schools for free. So I'm just like, okay, why not apply to Tuskegee since they were having like a fee waiver. It was in 1 month. It was like a fee waiver that I could apply for free. So I decided to apply. I'm like, I'm not going to go here, but, you know, I'll still apply because why not? So I end up applying. And then, you know, I end up getting in. Come to find out, my cousin actually attends Tuskegee as well. So I had like a family member to attend Tuskegee as well. So I'm like, okay, I end up getting in. And then I also had received the scholarship. And then that's the scholarship that I received. I got the most money out of all schools that I applied to because I almost had $1 million in scholarships all together. And so, yeah, I was like, okay, this wouldn't be too bad because I am a first gen. You know, I grew up. You know, I always had the thing in my mindset saying, okay, I do want to go to college, but how am I going to get there? My parents, they didn't save up a whole bunch of money for me to go to college. So I had to really excel in school to get the funds and money and resources that I needed so I can get here today. Because that was another thing. I knew I wanted to go out of state, but how was I going to pay for it? Because if I stayed in Georgia, then I still would have had to pay some out of pocket, but more would have been covered since I was an in-state student. And, you know, Tuskegee is a private institution, so our tuition and fees are all the same for all students. But yeah, I was just looking at the pros and everything. Like, I just enjoyed the historical aspects of Tuskegee. It was a pretty nice campus. And come to find out, you know, I have aspirations to go to law school. So they do hold an annual law school fair, kind of advocate for our, for, you know, a little bit of those social sciences. So I'm just like, you know, this necessarily wouldn't be bad. And then, you know, I would hear other students or other people talk about Tuskegee, and, you know, I never really necessarily heard anything bad about it. And, you know, we was top, you know, we're the top one of the top HBCUs. So I was not mad at it at all. So it was one of those things that definitely grew in me, and I don't regret my decision at all. Yeah.
So, you know, you had a good array of things. You said the information I try to get across to other students. One, did you apply for a lot of scholarships? Now, did you apply for a lot of scholarships, one scholarship, or how do you know apply for scholarships? Because that, like you said before, especially going out of state, that can be very expensive.
Yeah. And then one thing about out of state, if I went to Alabama, then it wouldn't be bad either, because I had family. I had a lot of family in Alabama. I had the best of both worlds. I had the country life aspect, and I had the city life aspect. So it was very easy to adapt to. As far as scholarships, a lot of the scholarships that I received from schools, they were just based off like my grades and everything like that. So when I applied, that's when I pretty much received the funding that I did in the scholarship. And then I also applied early. I always tell people, it's crazy that you asked that, because last night I talked to one of my cousins, and I think he's about to graduate high school. And his mom was just asking me, like, how did you receive that many scholarships and how much money? I'll say your best bet is to apply early and make sure your grades are good as well, because a lot of these schools, they're not even, you know, it's so, they made it so competitive, but a lot of these schools don't even allow, or you don't even have to submit your ACT or SAT scores, and you will still receive some amount of funding. And for me, that was kind of, in my case, you know, that's what really carried me to get the money that I did, was my GPA in there, because it was so high. So yeah, that's how I pretty much received a lot of my scholarships. I didn't physically do no applying to specific scholarships. For specific scholarships, they kind of just came to me when I applied to the specific school, and then applying early as well played a role in it as well.
Yeah, that's why I try to tell students, it's very important to really do well in your schoolwork, especially in high school, and because it's those merit scholarships are a lot more offer a lot more scholarship money than the regular scholarships, right? More open scholarships or major scholarships. If you have good grades, they're going to try to get you in there. And schools have endowments and other scholarships and free money behind the scenes that you don't even know about, except for. And so, as I said earlier, you just got to ask them and just apply to different schools. And when you apply to different schools, you told me you use COPPIS. Tell us, audience, what is COPPIS? What does that help do for students?
I'm sorry. You said
You said, remember, you said you can apply. You can go to like a website or go to something like COPPIS and go to many
schools. Oh, the Common App. Okay. The Common App is...
Oh, the Common App. See, I got that wrong. The Common App. It's something common, and I said something totally different. COPPIS, like leading you down the COPPIS way. You see, that's why I got guests on here like Imani. You know what I'm saying? Imani ain't going to have you right. I'm going to have you going all the way around and here and there.
Yes, so it's called the Common App. It's a free website where you could apply to like 20 different schools for free. And they also have one, the Black Common App, which is like for HBCU schools. So I think they have a few HBCUs on the Common App as well, if I'm not mistaken. But that's where I applied to most of my schools, because I knew it was going to be free too. And then like I said, I had waivers as well. So you can apply to 20 different schools there. It's easier to navigate as well, because, you know, you have to go through all these different websites, see through the app. You know, a lot of these schools are through the app. So you just submit all your applications. You don't even have to go to the website. You can just go back to the Common App and see your stuff. And then eventually that's when you have to navigate and transition into the website. But yeah, that app really helped me. Like I said, I think it was only a few schools where I had to directly apply to applied, but like Tuskegee, I had to directly apply it on their page.
Uh-huh. So if you're a parent of a high schooler watching this show today, or if you're in high school watching the show, you know, that's one of the options you have as far as free, one, save you money, and two, you can accomplish as many schools at one time instead of going to each individual school, save your time and energy, and where you can have more fun being out there with your friends, correct?
Yeah, most definitely. It was, to be honest, the whole, because I remember when I'm first gen, so I had to kind of navigate and teach myself, like, this whole college thing. I had a college advisor, but I still wanted to be educated as well. Even as far as now, I try to come up with a game plan of what I'm going to do each year, like next year. Okay. Nobody wants to be in debt. I'm just being honest. Like, funding was a big thing for me. So I'm like, okay, what's going to be the plan for next year? I decided to be RA. We get free housing. That was the only thing that wasn't covered as in my scholarship, but I had the opportunity to receive my Pell Grant as well. And then that paid off some of it. But you know, you don't want to have to pay nothing. No. So you just have to come up with those game plans as well. And then have to be very educated. Cause you know, I would ask my parents, they didn't know what I was
You know what I'm saying? They haven't been there. But that's the thing I tell students all the time, even students that message me a lot of times. Go bring your student services center. Go visit financial aid. Ask for the academic advisor. And I'm advising people on the show and in my message inbox on LinkedIn, go see student services, financial aid, your academic advisor. Ask your professors. Ask around. Ask people who have graduated from college before. Ask your family members about the process. You know, the intern process, like you talk about, you know, the RA process, the work study. So you do work study. You do work study now?
Yes, I do. I work with the history and political science department. So pretty much we just, you know, I help host certain events. Like I was a part of the law school fair, helped set up for that event. And I also, you know, we host other events within our department as well. So like we do posts and videos and flyers and just doing like basic little office assistance duties as well. So it was a way to not only just have a little side hustle and a job, but just right. Stay connected within my department. Because, you know, I love to stay connected with all my social political science majors. Like, you know, because everybody, like I said, it's a very STEM-based school. So, you know, the engineers and the nursing people, they all gonna stick together in animal science. So we got to stick together just.
You do. And that's just part of campus life. That's kind of culture. I like that, though. You try to get involved. And I want to encourage students, even if you are a non-traditional student, you're an older student, you know, do as he did. Get in the work study in the department that you're working in. You know, if I was a business major, I'd be in the business majors there, right? Accounting, finance, marketing. You know, get with those people. You have a lot of similarities together. And that way you feel part of the culture of your university. You know, get involved, you know, do intramural sports or whatever. Just don't go to your room like I did my first semester when I'm at the UNC Pembroke. Don't just go to your room. Go to league, come by, go to your room, go to library, come by, go to room, go to the studio, go to your room. You know, get out there. So I got involved with intramural sports and everything else. Get involved with that college experience of life, you know. Immerse yourself into that. You pay for it. You pay for those fees. You know, you don't attend the basketball game, football games, hockey, whatever sport you want. You pay for it. It's come out of your money.
Definitely get out there. Definitely, I'll say that. Definitely try to be engaged as much because everybody I've never seen like so many people, like everybody's trying to do the same thing. So try to get out there and be as engaged as well, because that's where you're going to find most of your opportunities. If you're out there just, you know, showcasing and marketing yourself, then that's, you know, you're going to grab people's attention. You like what my mom say, closed mouths don't get fed. You have to you have to really engage, you know, just even with certain jobs, as far as communicating, you have to communicate with people. You have to stay consistent. You have to follow up. So that's one of the advice I have. I wouldn't say the whole college experience is what you make it. If it's boring, then, you know, if you want to make it boring, then that's what you're going to get. If you don't make it, you know, fun, then that's what you're going to get. It's all about what you make it and what you want to do.
So how was, when you transitioned from high school to college, you're a sophomore this year. How was that transition? Was you having a transition as far as academically? Was that a big transition for you? Okay. The freshman year?
I'm glad.
It was for me, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't get no academic scholarship. I got a club scholarship, but no academic scholarship. They looked at me like,
And I'm glad you asked that question. My transition, so between the end, like when I graduated and me coming to college, it had got a little rocky in that little situation. So I end up going to Alabama, staying with my cousin for the remainder, like my whole summer. So I came down here to Alabama, Marion, Alabama. I had accumulated two jobs. I was working at Dollar General, and then I was also working at Marion Academy. That's like a babysitting preschool academy. And then I was also held a fellowship, and then I had the opportunity to do a summer bridge program. So I took a math class over the summer at Tuskegee that they offered me, and they gave me $1,000 towards my tuition. Mm. So in the midst of that, I'm just doing all of that as well, prepping myself for college. I honestly just had to get away from home simply because, you know, I was about to go to college. I needed to have that experience. And, you know, my parents, they were very overprotective. So in a sense, I was low-key sheltered. So I just had to break away from that for a while and to kind of be on my own. And then my cousin, you know, I stayed in her house, but, you know, I was still independent. Like, I was responsible for my own expenses. So I bought all my stuff for college. I was keeping up with dates and financial things, all that. That was all up into my hands. But my parents, they never have to really worry about taking care of that stuff. All they ever have to do was sign a piece of paper, and then I already have it taken care of. And that's just always how I've been. I've always had that independent aspect. I never had to be, you know, had to do baby steps or anything like that. And so in the midst of that, I was kind of keeping myself strong because I also had some personal stuff going on. Because you not only that, you're dealing with your work atmosphere, different relationships with people.
Right.
So it was a lot, but I still stood my ground. And, you know, I had my days, but you would never tell. I was working like 15-hour shifts. I was working a lot. So I'll come back home like 10 o'clock at night, have to do some homework, and then wake up right back up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's just how my whole summer went. And, you know, it prepared me well going into college. And, you know, I really appreciate that. So when people ask me, like, how can you handle, like, all these different tasks, juggling all these different tasks. Well, that I showed you right there. You know, an average person wouldn't do nothing like that. They wouldn't be able to handle nothing like that. But, you know, I like to advocate for those people as well. Like, you can, like, it's possible. You just have to put your mind to it. If you know what you want, then it's going to happen. So it's just a sense of independence.
You see, you seem to manage your time very well with that. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Now, when I was at the community college here on Crescent in Charlotte, North Carolina, here with the Central Piedmont Community College, I was working two jobs and going to school at the same time, too. And I didn't make it as well as you did. My doctor told me, you need to quit one of them jobs, man. You're about to be like exhausted. So I had to quit one of my jobs. I had to eat healthier. I had to watch what I was doing, less time sleeping, less time watching TV and more time sleeping, taking care of my body. And I felt much better after that. That advice, like, look, some people can handle it, some people can't. And when I went on to UNC Pembroke for the four-year school, that I learned time management real well. So that helped me. Like, it helped you out. It helped me out. So people wonder, how can you do this and do that? I was in Army Reserve at the same time. So I was in Army Reserve and going to school at the same time. And I did part-time and full-time jobs in the summer. So I was fortunate, too, to where I used the military and scholarship and other resources, part-time and full-time jobs in the summer, in order to cover my educational expenses. Now, I see something on your profile about poll watchers. Are you ready for the upcoming election, being a political science major? Are you really watching what's going on in the nation right now?
Well, I just want to kind of piggyback off what you said before I get to poll watcher. I just want to thank you or just highlight what you said when you said taking care of your body. So I know in the midst of doing that throughout the whole summer, I think God really humbled me and told me to sit down the week before I had got to ski because I actually had got COVID and got sick. Yes. And that was the most heartbreaking thing to me, because not only that, I'm just like, I'd have to go to work. I have to do things. I have to go to Tuskegee in like a week. So I'm just in the midst of like feeling so many types of emotions. So definitely take care of yourself, because, you know, I felt like I was taking care of myself, but in a sense, I felt like I was kind of overwhelming my body just a little bit, even though I did, you know, go to the doctor more often during the break. But definitely take care of yourself. Take care of yourself mentally. That is so important. I feel like mental health is very underrated.
It is.
Especially in the Black community. Nobody don't really talk about it as much, but definitely take care of yourself. Now, let's get back to the poll.
Well, let me go back to that. Hold on 1 second before you go. If we're going to get to that poll one time, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to that poll watching, okay? And Philip Bobby, hold on 1 second. I think we as African Americans are getting better, Imani, than when I was going to school and back in my day. Everybody know I'm 50 plus years old. I look young. I shaved today. I got a new towel for Imani today. So, mental health has gone a long way. And I think we're trying to realize that. But like I said, we're coming slowly. How much mental health means a whole lot to your whole person. And I talked to a last guest I had, Charmaine Turner, talked about the whole person, with whole person wellness, what she said. And, you know, you got to take the spiritual, the mental, the physical, the whole of you, you know, in order to be appreciative of you and to do what you need to accomplish your goals and dreams. Because if you're lacking either the mental capacity, the emotional capacity, you know, the physical, the spiritual, it's going to be almost impossible, or it's going to be very hard to accomplish your goals and dreams you want to do, whether it's finishing school, whether it's getting a job, getting certification, getting licensed, because so many things are coming at you at the same time. And so I'm glad you brought that up, that we had to be a whole person, okay? And seek help if you need it, please.
Yes, most definitely.
There are counseling services on most campuses I know. Most insurances offer some type of counseling service if you need it. So please get help if you need it and get assistance. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no more stigma. So especially the African-American community, I think we're finally breaking down those walls to where you hear Hollywood stars and musicians and entertainers talk about, hey, I'm getting myself therapy. You know, I'm getting counseling. I'm getting help. So please, audience, ladies and gentlemen, get that help that you need. Now we'll go to the poll. So you've been a political science major. How things come along as far as you watching, as far as the races, with congressional races, with the president's race this year, the Senate, how's that come along for you?
I think this year is the most time that I've been very engaged with the congressional elections. The reason why I had gotten to that specific opportunity is because I had a friend who was offering that opportunity. So I'm like, of course, why not? I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. So I had the opportunity to help Marika Coleman on her campaign. And I did like canvassing. And that actually made me just research, at least for the second congressional in Alabama.
Right, in Alabama.
It just had made me like kind of research everyone's viewpoints and kind of just research everyone, because it was a lot of Democrats that were running. It was definitely interesting. Poll watching, that was definitely interesting. That's another thing that I'll say, that you have to have you have to be strong for that one, because you're going to encounter those people, because mind you, you're not going to be the only one out there, you know, kind of marketing somebody else's
campaign.
So it was definitely a great opportunity to meet somebody that was running, and you know, she was definitely experienced with what she had going on. It was other people that she had from Tuskegee as well, but she was a majority of her campaigning was in Montgomery too. So we was constantly back and forth from Montgomery, campaigning, canvassing, knocking on people's doors, but it was a great experience. I've never done anything like that before. I'm glad I got to be active in the community. I've also made a few other connections while I was out there, you know, canvassing and you know. So it was fun. It was really fun. I'm glad that I got to connect with Miss Marika. Senator Marika Coleman. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they definitely took care of us very well. Mm-hmm. So
that's good. And that's one thing, you know, to get involved in the process, as well as just want to be a lawyer, it's good that you're getting these experiences and learning from the ground up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? you're getting these experiences and you're getting involved in it from the ground up. So that way, when you get up in a position to make decisions, you kind of know what people are going through, how to treat people, who are helping you out, how to be a leader. You learn the ways, either the good leader or bad leader. You don't learn from a leader, whether they're good or bad. You know, if they're bad, you learn not what to do. If they're good, you learn what to do. And so I think this, like we said before, I like this whole conversation that we have today is about getting involved. You know, really getting involved with your university, getting involved with people, getting involved, especially if you're a major, right? If you're a major, right, you get involved. You know, you're involved in the political science history department, you're involved in poll watching, you're involved asking people something, you had different jobs, you're going to give you different experience. So I think all these experiences are going to come together, Imani, and they're going to be very beneficial for you once you get out there, you know, in quote, the real world that we always say before we graduate.
Yes, most definitely. This is just the foundation. Like I said, I do want to go to law school. I'm still having trying to figure out a plan for that one. It's specifically having to get to that point. I haven't got there yet, but I feel like I have to start thinking a little bit quickly just because I came in with a whole year already done. But yeah, you definitely have to have that foundation and background. That's why it's important to get out there and engage with people and learn how to communicate. Because if you don't know how to talk or speak numbers or to, you know, people, you know, it's just, it's business. It's strictly business.
It is very much business. It has business.
Yes.
And so you definitely not. Do you have any advice for high school students while you're here on our program before you leave?
Yes, I do want to say, do good, do well in school. Ask questions if you need help. High school, don't compare high school to college because it's different. Because I've definitely had to get humbled a few times. It's two different things. Apply to as many schools as you can because you never know where you're going to get money. Keep applying. Apply to scholarships. Get you a mentor. That's a big one. Get you a mentor. I advocate, you know, for people that don't know much about college, peer mentor, first gens. I want to be a mentor for somebody else that necessarily don't know either. Have everything done early. You know, just do well in school and you'll be fine. Yes.
I tell you, well, that information is very, very beneficial for our audience. And even those non-traditional students who want to go back, you may be 25, 30, and want to go back, get a career, get a license, get a certification, whatever. Hey, ask questions, you know, visit the student services, visit the financial aid, you know, you want to become a real estate broker, a license insurance, whatever you want to do. And that's why we call the Career Education Learning Center, because whatever you want to do, go investigate. You want to go to automotive, visit some automotive shops, you know. Mm-hmm. If you want to go into welding, visit some welding shops. You want to be in construction, build construction areas, right? Go to those places and see, even if you have to work for free or just say, can I tag along and just absorb the information there and to see if that's something you really want to do. And if it is, you're already there. So,
all right.
Imani, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really do appreciate it.
Yes, of course. And thank you for having me. I'm glad we got to meet up together and, you know, just talk about my journeys and experience so far. And I've had more.
Yeah.
We need more to go through. So,
yeah. Well, I tell you, when you had to come back on our show, definitely, and give us more of those nice nuggets that you gave us today. And I'd like to thank our viewers and listeners for joining me, Mitchell Rivers, on the Career Education Learning Center podcast, where we make your career dreams a reality. God bless.